The bottom line in business talk. Voice America Business.
Welcome to Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roe Diefendorf, your source for total wealth management. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the show are solely those of Roe, his guests, and callers. Now let's begin the show. Here's your host, Roe Diefendorf.
Thank you for joining us again on Three-Dimensional Wealth. I'm your host, Roe Diefendorf, and today I'm here with Ken Dillenbeck, CPA, and we're going to be talking about practice transformation from CPA to C3DWP. And what's that all about? Well, I want to welcome you, Ken, for joining us and taking your valuable time to share with us.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, Roe.
Well, good. Let me just give a little background about Ken. Ken's a local Hofstra grad on Long Island. He's a practicing tax accountant. And in addition to having a CPA designation, which he received in 1983, he is both a chartered financial consultant, CHFC. He's a chartered life underwriter, CLU, both which come from the American College. And he got those in 1997 and 1998. And this past year, in 2005, Ken attained the total wealth management professional designation of certified three-dimensional wealth practitioner, C3DWP. He is the co-owner and president of the Tax Advisory Group. He's the principal of Kenneth K. Dillenbeck, CPA, PC. He has his Series 7, his Series 63, and his Series 28 with the NASD, and he's a registered rep in the FinOp for Sterling Monroe Securities. So having said all that, I want to again welcome you, Ken. Thank you.
Thanks for that wonderful introduction and all those fancy letters after my name. Sounds very good.
Well, I want to ask you, first of all, the question that I think many people want to know. What makes an accountant tick?
Well, that's a very interesting question, Roe, and I think that accountants are kind of a breed all by themselves. But I think part of what makes an accountant tick is really the pure joy of the numbers. There's a sense of order about accounting systems because you have a debit and you have a credit, and everything has always got a balance. So when I go to a client and I look at a balance sheet, I have a sense of what it should look like. It's kind of a process that I go through. I call myself the Sherlock Holmes of accounting sometimes when I talk to my clients because I don't know what they've done to their books, and I need to make that balance sheet look exactly what I know it's supposed to look like. It's kind of like taking the pieces of a puzzle, and they're all out of order, and I try to get those pieces into the right order. And the great thing is that numbers always tell a story. When I get the balance sheet looking like what it should look like, I can analyze that, and by doing that, then I can provide a useful service to my client because those numbers, as I said, always tell a story. For instance, I can take numbers, I can create a tax projection for somebody, and that allows me to give them specific advice to help them to minimize their taxes so they don't get to April 15th and go, oh my goodness, what hit me when the IRS has their hand out for a big balance due.
You said everything has to balance. You haven't seen my wife's checkbook, Ken. And I guess she was never destined to be an accountant.
It's a very unique trade, and I always tell people that you really need to have a sense of details. You need to love to work with details and really get into the details, and you really have to love the numbers.
Well, when was it that you were destined to become a CPA? I mean, would all of a sudden you're 3 years old and you get up and say one day, yippee, I want to be a CPA, or how does that happen?
Well, I always had a great acumen for working with numbers and understanding ratios, and I was always statistically minded all through high school, and I did very well in all my mathematical courses, the geometry, the algebra. But I think it really became clear to me when I was about 30 and I returned to college to take some additional courses and get my degree. I went back to take some business courses. And along the way, I took an accounting course, and I found out that I really had a natural talent for that. I started doing some of the problems, and I said, here's something that really can work for me. And I think that not everybody's so lucky to find a profession where they can have something that they enjoy to do and that they can earn, you know, will give them the ability to earn a good income. And I was just very blessed to have that happen to me upon returning to college.
You know, it's interesting, as a financial planner, I like to see all the things in order, but I also have a natural aversion to accountant and to being that kind of accountant. So I have to lean on you guys.
I think that we're kind of a misunderstood, you know, I think a lot of people look at us as being a necessary evil, and I don't really think they understand what we do. And part of what I've always done in dealing with my clients is trying to help them understand the process. I've always tried to be an educator along the way.
Well, then, are all accountants the same?
Well, hardly. You know, I would say if I asked you the question, are all doctors the same, I think you probably would say that they're not. First of all, there are different skill levels that are being performed. A lot of times I look at a client who's coming in to be a prospective new client, and I look at the work that a prior accountant has done, and just technically I can look at that and say, well, you know, they missed a deduction, or they missed a credit on that tax return. So technically the skill level is not the same. But I think even beyond that, having done this now for 20-something years and preparing returns and appearing before the IRS, there's also another level of skill. It's almost like an intuitive skill. When you look at a return, you kind of know what's going to pass through the IRS grid. So two accountants could take the same information and prepare a return, but I have a sense of guiding the client in knowing what deductions we can take. Like I said, it's really intuitive. I look at a return, and I just have this sense of that it's going to be okay or not okay.
Now, it's interesting because I think it's Intuit that created the program TurboTax, and I just heard 2 days ago that 20 million returns in the year 2005 will be done by TurboTax. Now, what's this doing to the landscape of accounting?
Well, I saw that statistic, and it was actually a mind-boggling statistic to me, because I can't say that it hasn't altered the nature of the accounting profession, because that's a lot of tax returns being done. I do say this, is that there are a lot of there are firms out there. They're almost like crunching firms, number crunching firms that are doing, you know, they could be doing two or three thousand. Individual returns, low-level returns, that it may be affecting their business more than it's affecting my business. It's not the kind of client that I'm necessarily looking to attract, you know, the $100 tax return. So it's obviously affecting the landscape. But over 20 years, I've had many of my clients for those 20 years, and they know that during the year they can call me up, they can get tax advice. They're not going to get that if they're using TurboTax. You know, TurboTax is going to spit out a return, and they're going to look at the return, and they're not really going to know whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. All they know is they've got a, you know, I've seen the TurboTax, and it prints out a number of schedules, which is very impressive, but how do you know what you're looking at? You really need to have an accountant that you know that you can lean on to interpret the numbers and do more than just what a TurboTax is doing. So I think that TurboTax is probably affecting a different kind of tax practice than the one that I am trying to build for myself.
Well, the statement I would make is that technology provides one with information, but your CPA provides you with wisdom. Would you agree?
I would absolutely agree with that statement. Over the years, as I have seen, when I first started in accounting, I was doing tax returns by hand, and that just gives you a little reminder of how long I've been doing this.
But some people still do it by hand, Ken, though. So.
You know, and some people will be going back to doing it by hand, because now New York State is requiring e-filing, and it's just getting more, you know, more technical all the time. But even as I prepare returns on the sophisticated software now, sometimes you actually jump back, and you a computer will spit out a credit, or it'll give you a piece of information that even you, like, you know, it surprises you, because the computer is pretty smart. But still, the computer can take information, it can process schedules, it can take information from one part of the return and transfer it to another part of the return. It can do all of that. But what do you have in the end is just information. How do you interpret that information? How do you look at the tax return and say, well, this is what happened, why did this happen? And this is what I really try to do with my clients, is to say, well, we now have a result. Could we have avoided that result? Maybe it's too late to avoid the result for this year, but how can we plan for it next year? How can we get a different result? So you really do need more than just the computer spitting out, you know, impressive schedules and giving you all that technological information. You still need the personal human element to put it through the grid, I think.
I almost think, you know, some are I would call them historians. In other words, they say, bring in all our stuff and we'll tell you what happened and what you owe. But that's not very helpful. That's like driving your car looking through the rearview mirror. You know, you're probably going to crash here. I mean, I think what you want to do is have somebody who's forward-looking and say, what is it that we can do today in order to change the results in the future? And that, I think that's where that wisdom comes in.
I agree with you 100%, Rowie, because many tax preparers and many accountants are really just doing historical information. The clients give them their information after the year is over. You know, you process it, you get the debits and the credits in there, you come up with an income statement, you come up with a tax return, and what do you have? Really, all you have is just historical information. What I try to do in my practice is I don't like to wait till March to get information from clients. But then, you know, the barn door is closed and the horse is already out. I encourage clients to be in contact with me during the year, to bring me information during the year. Let's take a look at what's going on so that we can plan and we can be proactive before, you know, that dreaded April the 15th deadline.
Okay. I know that there's continuing education, industry meetings that you attend. What are some of the trends that are being discussed for CPAs in the future?
Well, I think the biggest trend right now is that more and more CPAs are really affiliating themselves with financial firms. As a matter of fact, I get letters all the time soliciting me to do that very, very thing, because many of the traditional accounting services are disappearing. It's getting harder and harder, and it's more competitive in the accounts that you're looking for in the traditional accounting, because a lot of firms are doing the work in-house. And so accountants are starting to look outside the box, and I think they have been probably for 10 years or so. I think it's just becoming more and more prevalent that they're looking to provide services to their clients outside of the traditional accounting firms. And those services would be looking at a client's portfolio, managing their assets, looking at their retirement plans, and things of that nature.
You know, when I was out at the FPA, the Financial Planning Association meeting, in September this year, what we found is that there were many, many CPAs attending the FPA convention, and they had been to their CPA association meetings, but they were coming here to extend their education.
Right.
Well, we're going to take a short break, but we're going to be back and talk more about practice transformation from CPA to C3DWP. Stay tuned.
Business information you need, from the stock market to starting and managing your business. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Financial planning can be confusing and complex, and unless you have a solid game plan, you could be taking unnecessary risks and missing out on tremendous opportunities. Let Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates take the mystery out of investing and help you build a solid financial foundation for years to come. Diefendorf Capital Planning revolves around the family, and through our financial service companies and three-dimensional wealth centers, we strive to deliver total wealth management financially, personally, and socially. Learn more about what Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates can do for you. Visit the website at diefendorfcapital.com today. Integrity, full service, best in class, diefendorfcapital.com.
If suddenly you're numb or weak on one side, limb, or face,
it could be a stroke. Get help. Don't wait.
Maybe it's a loved one suddenly slurring their speech or dizzy.
Call 911 and get medical help quickly.
Blacks have a higher occurrence. Do you want to know more?
Call 1-888-4-STROKE or visit www.strokeassociation.org. Time lost is brain lost.
A public service message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Why is Pepsi cooler than Coke? Why are iPods so popular? In 2005, how can you launch a successful brand? Want to know? Learn about the fascinating and intriguing world of graphic design and branding on Design Matters with Debbie Millman. Every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time, Debbie Millman will provide you with a provocative look into the stimulating world of design as it intersects with contemporary culture. Hear what the experts have to say about creating, maintaining, and launching a brand in today's challenging marketplace. Join us every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time for Design Matters with Debbie Millman, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
What I Want to Be When I Grow Up by Johnny Mike.
Dad, it's John. I got the promotion. We'll call him John Jr.
You'll speak over 500 million words in your lifetime, but none of them will be as important as the words you use to tell your six-year-old he has cancer. CureSearch.org connects you to the most comprehensive research and advice on childhood cancer and to other families who know exactly what you're going through. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
The Bottom Line in Business Talk. Voice America Business.
Bringing you the keys to total wealth management, this is Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roe Diefendorf. Comments or questions? Visit www.diefendorfcapital.com or call 516-759-3900. Now back to the show. Here's Roe Diefendorf.
I'm here with Ken Dillenbeck, CPA, and we're discussing practice transformation from certified public accountant to certified three-dimensional wealth practitioner. And Ken, the reason we're talking to you, because you've made that transition. And I want to talk, though, this section about ethics and the CPA ethics requirements. And maybe you can help to elaborate what those are, because I'd like to use that as a baseline to talk about moving into other parts of financial services for accountants. So maybe you can shed some light on that.
Okay, well, a couple of years ago, with all of the accounting scandals that had come up in some of the big firms, New York State instituted a requirement that now all accountants have to take as many as 40 continuing education credits every year in their general areas of accounting. But they have added another layer that an accountant has to re-register his license every 3 years, and now that in that three-year period, the accountant must take a 4 CPE credits in the area of ethics.
Okay. I know that that is true also for the Financial Planning Association, and it's also true for becoming a certified three-dimensional wealth practitioner. And I'm going to just give a quick advertisement for that, because we think that's equally as important as you transfer or as you start to transition from one type of practitioner to another. And I'll read you from the Three-Dimensional Wealth International's Code of Ethics. It says, each individual who has successfully completed the coursework must also agree to accept the fiduciary responsibility to maintain honesty and integrity with all those who may receive their advice. And therefore, each certified three-dimensional wealth practitioner pledges to, one, always place the best interests of the clients above their own direct or indirect interests; two, maintain the highest standards of professional competence and give the best possible advice to clients by seeking to maintain and improve their knowledge, skills, and competence; three, make full and adequate disclosures of all facts necessary to enable their clients to make informed decisions; four, hold in the strictest confidence and consider as privileged all business and personal information pertaining to our clients' affairs, and failure to abide by this principle may result in termination of employment or termination of their designation, maintain personal conduct that will reflect favorably upon the organization, and abide by and conform to all provisions of the law and regulations and jurisdictions in which they do business. And so we take this pretty seriously, as well as the CPA Association. But as you start to transition into other areas of providing services in addition to the accounting work, is it possible to know it all? Is there such a thing as a breach of ethics when you advise outside of your area of expertise? What does the CPA Association say about that?
Well, the way I look at it is, no, obviously you can't ever know it all, and no matter how much information you're gathering to a client, I think you always think of the prudent man rule. You gather as much relevant information as you can, and you're offering advice to a client, and I think the big thing there is that you are really needing to keep the client's best interests at heart and not your own self-interest. As far as knowing it all, in my particular situation, one of the reasons that I've affiliated with Diefendorf Capital, because not only do I just rely on my own information, but there are other people in the organization who are have more expertise than me, so I have available to me to get more information so that I won't steer a client into the wrong area. And this way I will gather up the expertise to give the client the best advice that I know. I think you can advise on areas outside of your area to a certain degree. I suppose there's some areas where you probably wouldn't want to venture into. For instance, I would never offer legal advice to a client. If I have a question about it, I would therefore refer the client to get proper legal counsel. And I think that's a special kind of a situation. But I think in these other areas, I think it's very possible to make that transition.
Are the clients asking or demanding more services from their CPAs?
I think they are, and actually one of the reasons that I became a CHFC starting about 10 years ago was the fact that my clients are on the phone to me, and they're asking me all questions about financial advice. They're asking about financial instruments. They were asking me all of these questions already, so I figured that I should give myself the best knowledge possible, and that's when I started taking the courses, and I eventually got my designation, because the clients are asking for that kind of information. And clients really assume that the accountant knows everything. Sometimes they make an assumption that they know things that have nothing to do about financial affairs. You know, they ask you for advice about all kinds of things. But they are definitely, it definitely have broadened their scope and the kinds of things that they're looking for.
Well, I know in the surveys that have been done, when they ask about the trusted advisor, the CPA comes to the top of the list. And in fact, of all of the advisors, he is at the top. And when I think about those, if he's at the top and he starts to provide corollary services, can you still be objective? In other words, when they're going to their accountant because they think he's objective, he's going to give that independent advice, and now all of a sudden, he's on both sides. Not only can he give the advice, he can either handle the transactions, if it's security transactions, or place insurance, if there's insurance to be placed. And does that provide a conflict of interest?
I think you do have to be careful in this area, because it could be a possible conflict of interest, but I think you also have to remember that you are trying to keep your client's best interest in the forefront. The other thing that I think about this is that if a person goes to buy insurance and they buy it from their insurance broker, the broker has less information than the accountant. The broker is really operating in a vacuum. I think that the CPA can maintain objectivity because he has all of the information available. When you are a client's accountant, you know pretty much everything, not only about their financial affairs, but you know pretty much everything about their entire life. I mean, I've had clients for 20 years, and I know the stories, their stories, their children's stories. But I think the point is that I see pretty much everything, and I can probably give them more objective advice in the whole knowing all of their financial circumstances. So I really think that it's more of a natural fit than going to someone, you go to a lawyer to get legal advice, you go to a insurance person to get insurance advice, but you really need to coordinate all those things together in a package, and I think that's something that the accountant can really do.
We're going to talk about it towards the end of this show about how to then take that and up a notch and start to talk about total wealth management. One of the things that we found in our financial planning practice over these past 35 years is that because of our relationship and the depth of our relationship with our clients and knowing more than just the numbers or knowing more than just, you know, their investment results or things like that, that we could actually have a significant influence on their marriage, influence on their children, how they raise their children, because sometimes families can screw up kids with too much money. Sometimes husbands and wives argue over money, and many times that's the central problem. And so what we've tried to do in developing curriculum for the three-dimensional wealth practitioner is to have a series of counseling courses that are there to help the CPA, who can become a certified three-dimensional wealth practitioner, help the financial advisor, help those that have those kinds of professional designations already, and help them develop a deeper relationship so they can do the things that you just talked about, Ken, and really help on a much more, I think, total wealth and meaningful way.
Yeah, I really agree with that, Roey, because of the fact that I've had some of my clients and I know their families and I've known them for a long time. I would go back to saying I wouldn't give counseling advice and put out my shingle for psychology, but I think it's very helpful. And one of the things when I was going through the three-dimensional wealth materials was I think it really helped you get that counseling perspective, because it's something that you're really doing naturally anyway with your accounting clients, because they're coming to you with all kinds of situations. And I've always said, and I've maintained for a long time, that accounting is way more than just dollars and debits and credits. There's a service way beyond just dealing with the money. Like you said, money is a very personal thing, and husbands and wives, many times that's a very big source of contention in a marriage where they're arguing over the money and how it's spent and what it's spent for and what the couple's priorities are. So I think as you deal with clients and the more you understand their motives and you understand their philosophies about things, it will help you in guiding them into financial success.
Terrific, Ken. We're going to take another break here at halfway through, but if you'll stay tuned, we'll be back with more of Three-Dimensional Wealth.
More and more people are starting their day with informative, focused business talk. Top experts. Today's business issues. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
As a financial planner, do your clients really read all that computer-generated boilerplate text in an analysis? The FPS Financial Planning Software is designed for you to show your clients a concise and easy-to-follow report of their financial needs. The FPS system guides your clients to clearly see any needs that they may have in the achieving of their goals. Clients are guided to a decision rather than just reading the analysis. For a free copy of the FPS system, call 1-800-245-1991. Once again, that's 1-800-245-1991.
Now, Mrs. Johnson, before we close on your mortgage loan, I want to make sure you remember Mike.
Hi. You can trust me. I'm African-American, just like you.
So, here's the low monthly payments and interest rates we promised, and here's where they triple.
The rest of this stuff is just here to make sure that we get your house when you can't pay us back.
What a lovely house.
Predatory lenders are never this easy to spot. Call us at 866-222-FAIR and protect yourself with the facts. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance and the Ad Council.
Are you feeling slammed and suckered in today's stock market? If so, then you need to tune in to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Jordan Kimmel will train you in what you can do to beat up the big boys on Wall Street, as well as share his secrets to success so that you can buy and sell like a profit-pumping pro. Grab the bull market by the horns and listen to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Are you looking for a unique perspective on today's market from an experienced economist? Well, look no further. Listen to The Economic Contrarian with host Mike Norman every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on Business America Radio. Mike and his guests will discuss new trends in the marketplace, as well as emerging companies and opportunities. So if you want in-depth analysis from a contrarian point of view, don't miss The Economic Contrarian Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
The Bottom Line in Business Talk. Voice America Business.
We now return to Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roy Diefendorf. Direct your questions and comments to www.diefendorfcapital.com or call 516-759-3900. Now the host of Three-Dimensional Wealth, Roy Diefendorf.
Welcome back. My guest for today is Kenneth K. Dillon Beck, CPA, CLUCHFC, and C3DWP. And what we're talking about today is practice transformation from certified public accountant to certified three-dimensional wealth practitioner. Ken, I want to ask you about the sole practitioner and the what's known as MDP, the multidisciplinary practice. Can the sole practitioner compete?
Well, I think the sole practitioner can compete, Roey, but I think it's probably getting tougher and tougher, and I think that the sole practitioner probably has to remake himself in today's markets because of the shrinking environment in the traditional accounting services and the competitiveness over the years of trying to get clients. So I think that the sole practitioner has to look at his practice in a little bit different way, and I think that's part of what the three-dimensional wealth has taught me, that you really need to get outside of the box, and I think that's probably been a problem with a lot of accountants, is that they get into a paradigm and they just continue to do the same things year after year, and you know what happens when you continue to do the same things year after year and you expect different results? Well, it's just not going to happen. So I think that's really the problem in the profession right now.
Well, one of the things that I look at, and I've actually written an article on the multidisciplinary practices, and it was talking about the difference between a specialist, that's someone who does just sort of one thing, versus someone who has a specialty. He does many things, but he's really a master of one. And what I see happening is in these multidisciplinary practices is that you've got people who have specialties, and so they know enough about a lot of different areas, but you can go to them and say, okay, we need your expertise in this specialty. And it doesn't make you then an island in and of yourself. You have to be part of the team. Otherwise, you just won't survive. And of course, what it does is you're only as good as the team that you're on. So, I mean, part of that is that, you know, they always say your greatest strength is your greatest weakness. Well, your greatest strength is the part of the practice, being all together. Of course, your greatest weakness is being part of the practice and being all together. And so that may be both a positive and a negative. But I see that happening as we go along. And I really believe the day of the sole practitioner is dying, at least in my opinion. But the next question I have for you is the development into that one that is really sort of for altruistic virtues, or is this just all about the money? Is this just to get another alternative source of revenue for the accountant?
That sounds like a leading question, Roey, because you really want to say it's for altruistic values. But I think realistically that probably what originally drove it was the search for new revenues, because as I said before, some of the old revenues are driving up, so we as accountants need to look for other ways to generate revenue, hence, aligning yourself with the financial firms. However, I don't think that the two have to be mutually exclusive, because I think as an accountant, although I love to do what I do, and I love the tax preparation, and I love the technical side of it, there is a side to it that I really love to service my clients. And if I am in a position to help them and provide other services to them, and I feel like I can do it better than some other firms can do, then I think that's a great reason, to expand the practice and to get into other avenues and provide other services for the client. I think it's just a natural fit. And I've always said that, if you keep your clients' interest, their best interest at heart, and you're honest with them, and you maintain your integrity, and you do the right thing, I think everything else just kind of takes care of itself.
My dad told me that when I started in business. It was July 5th, 1970. And he said, Roey, it was 5 minutes to eight. He knocks on my little door on his office, and he says, all right, if you do the right thing, you'll never have to worry about money, and I'll go get him. And, I've found that to be true now, 35, almost 36 years later. And it is true. If you follow those principles, in fact, things work out. All right. Now, I'm a young man or a young woman who wants to start a career in accounting. What advice would you give them, Ken?
Well, I think the first advice that I would give them is when I discussed with you what makes an accountant tick, is that I don't think they should go into it if they don't have a very strong analytical mind. If they don't have that mind that just loves the numbers and loves to get into those kinds of analyses. Like I say, you gotta love the numbers. But the advice that I would give them would be, aside just from going for an accounting degree or accounting background, I would get a stronger, a broader financial background than just accounting. Take other courses, take investment courses, take counseling courses. Really get a widespread diversity in the kinds of things, in the kinds of courses that you're taking. Because I think when you go into accounting, as I said before, you'll find that it's not just about the numbers. You've got to love the numbers. But I think you need to develop other areas and your other interests, because you will end up being a counselor as much as you will be a number cruncher.
Yeah, it's interesting. Some people say, well, are you a money manager? Well, money managers manage money. It's really end up being more of a relationship manager and helping people in their relationships and what they're doing in those, whether they be their family, their business, their friends, and all of that comes back. And the better that job that we can do, of course, then it helps tie into managing their money and how do you maximize their returns or minimize their risk or minimize their taxes. And so those strategies all come into play.
I think that's very true, Roey. And I, over the years in dealing with clients, you end up developing a trust. If they're staying with you and they develop that sense of trust, it's just a two-way street. It works back and forth with you and the client.
But you're telling me there's a viable future for that person that wants to go into the accounting profession.
I absolutely believe there's a viable future. It's like all other professions. It's a morphing as we speak. It's changing, and I think you just have to be open enough to the changes that you don't continue to do the same things over and over. I think there'll always be a need. My mother's been telling me for years that she was worried that flat tax was going to come in and I was going to be out of a job. And I told her for years, don't worry about it. We'll both long be gone before they ever have a flat tax. There's always going to be a need for accountants. There's always going to be a need for good financial advisors.
Yeah, it always reminds me, I think since I've started in business in this 35 years, we've probably had 25 different tax law changes. And I just wish they would hold tight and say, hey, these are the rules. And it kind of reminds me of playing cards with my kids. Every time I'm winning, they go ahead and change the rules on me right through the middle of the game. I say, well, you can't do that. They say, oh, yes, we can. And I kind of feel that's the way the IRS runs this thing, is that all of a sudden they'll change the rules, and all that happens to be full employment for the accountants, and here we go again.
It does seem like a rigged system, doesn't it, Ray?
It does. It does. Hey, what about mistakes, Ken, you might have made? Well, I mean, we're talking about three-dimensional wealth. We're talking about not only financial, but our personal wealth, the wisdom, the things that you've learned. Are there any mistakes that you've learned that you can share with someone who might be coming along, so that they might avoid that one thing or that roadblock?
Well, I think as you're going into the profession, the one thing that I would go back and I might change is when I first started off, I worked at a very, very small firm. And I think it really limited the kind of experience that I got. I really think it was, 10 or more years afterwards when I started taking the CHFC courses and I broadened my horizon that I really think that I started to see things from a different perspective. So what I would say as they're entering the job market, don't work at a firm that's so small that they won't get the kind of experience they need. But on the other hand, don't work at a firm that's so large that they'll get stuck in an audit department ticking and tacking checks, and they won't be able to get out there and meet the clients. If you get at a firm where you can get enough experience, but you can also get out there and meet the clients and develop the relationship with the clients, it's an experience that is invaluable, and that's always what helped me. And it's the reason I never worked at a big firm, is that it's really enjoyable working with business owners who have dreams about what their business is, and you can come alongside them and you develop a relationship. And many of my clients have turned into friends over the years because you develop that kind of a relationship with them.
I think you're right about that. My father used to say, listen, when you go out, he said, if you don't make a sale, back in those days when we were selling, he said, make a friend. And what happens is over a period of time, those friends, then, you're handling other things for them and you are making, quote, sales. So, yeah, that does. It goes both ways.
And I would say, Roey, that to any young person is don't be afraid to try something new. Don't limit yourself because the profession is changing, it's evolving, and technology is going to change, and a lot of things are going to change. So don't put yourself in a box. Just let yourself explore new things, try new experiences. It's something that you've taught me, and I really appreciate that over the years.
How about you, Kenny? Are you looking for anyone? If there's any local listeners out there that are listening in and are looking for a career opportunity, can they call you? Just maybe you want to give them your web address or your telephone number. I'll give it to you right now. I'll let you have the floor.
There's a good. It's a little 30-second plug there. You can call me at the Diefendorf Organization at 516-759-3900. That's extension 1017. Or you can try me at my personal line, which is 516-656-0373. Probably a lot easier to remember than my web address, which is www.kennethkdillenbeckcpapc.com. I suggest the phone call. Probably be a lot easier.
That sounds like a mouthful. So, well, that's pretty interesting. And I think that what we're going to find going forward as I'm out at these industry meetings and I see more and more CPAs at each of the conventions, that will be a trend that, again, as a broker-dealer on our side, where we have our own broker-dealer, that we might be those, be the person or be the firm that can help those CPAs start to transition in to other aspects of financial planning, investment planning, insurance planning. And so I think that we might be a good resource for those that are in this area.
So, Roey, if there are any accountants out there listening, bring them on down, huh?
Yeah, they can call us at 516-759-3900.
One hand washes the other. There.
All right. Well, listen, I hear some music fading in, which means we're going to take a break, Ken. But listeners, if you stay tuned, we're going to be back for our final segment of Three Dimensional Wealth. Thank you.
Fresh, dynamic, and totally prepared for continuing business education. Business Talk Radio. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Financial planning can be confusing and complex, and unless you have a solid game plan, you could be taking unnecessary risks and missing out on tremendous opportunities. Let Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates take the mystery out of investing and help you build a solid financial foundation for years to come. Diefendorf Capital Planning revolves around the family, and through our financial service companies and three-dimensional wealth centers, we strive to deliver total wealth management, financially, personally, and socially. Learn more about what Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates can do for you. Visit the website at diefendorfcapital.com today. Integrity, full service, best in class, diefendorfcapital.com.
You hear business show after business show all geared towards improving a company's bottom line. But what about your bottom line? How come no one ever talks about that? Finally, a show dedicated to the worker, The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, The Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, The Crow Show is aimed specifically at the worker and their environment. From work skills and technology to dealing with bosses and coworkers, The Crow Show will give you insight on how to survive and prosper in today's workplace. The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, The Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Mind Your Business with Danielle Hampson talks about the nuts and bolts of starting, running, and expanding a business. From time management, leadership, sales, marketing, and customer service, to office management, using technology, business plans, accounting, taxes, and networking. Danielle and her expert guests share their years of experience on a variety of topics. Tune in every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel for Mind Your Business with Danielle Hampson. Useful tips, authoritative advice, creative solutions, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Become a better leader. Build a great career. Learn how to successfully own and run a business. It's time for Common Sense Advice with the Common Sense Guy, hosted by Bud Belanich. With wit and an irreverent attitude towards business, life, and the business of life, Bud, the Common Sense Guy Belanich, and his interesting, accomplished guests feature common sense advice on leading people, building your career, and starting and running your own business. Tune in every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel for The Common Sense Guy with Bud Belanich, and walk away with common sense ideas to use right away. The Common Sense Guy, leadership, career enhancement, entrepreneurship, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business, this is Voice America Business.
Bringing you the keys to total wealth management, this is Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roe Diefendorf. Comments or questions? Visit www.diefendorfcapital.com or call 516-759-3900. Now back to the show. Here's Roe Diefendorf.
Our show for today is entitled Practice Transformation from CPA to C3DWP. And to do that, I have Ken Dillenbeck, CPA, who, as I mentioned earlier, this past year also attained his Certified Three-Dimensional Wealth Practitioner designation. And to do that, what we've done at Three-Dimensional Wealth is we've created a curriculum. We've got a core course, and then we've got elective courses, which we call Counseling Through Life's Transitions. And those courses include things like conflict mediation for family, friends, and business. We've got one entitled Marriage, Divorce, and Family Dynamics, Stress and Career Building, Parenting in the Empty Nest, Aging, Caregiving, and the Sandwich Generation, Pre- and Post-Retirement Counseling, and Death, Dying, and Bereavement. Now, these are all counseling courses for the financial advisor, for the CPA. And then we've got, in addition, practice enhancement electives, which talk about creating family legacy manuscripts, mission statements, philanthropic mission statements, family retreats, family foundations, and also talking about interpersonal relationships and social style awareness that have to do with the psychology of understanding behavior and behavioral finance. So in that, Ken, or as a result of that, maybe you can tell us what that has done for you in attaining that designation. How has that helped you as a practitioner?
Well, I think, Roe, that it's broadened my perspective in dealing with clients. Many of the clients that I have now, I've had for many years, so I have seen them go from young age to retirement age. I've seen them go through the process, and one of the courses that was so helpful to me was the one there about aging, how to deal. You know, I've had a number of clients that have lost spouses, I've had a number of clients that have lost children or lost parents, and I just think it helps you gain a perspective in dealing with those clients, in understanding the emotional strains, because they're at times when they need to make difficult financial decisions, they're going through a stressful time. And I think, you as a practitioner can help them to work through those processes.
All right, as a CPA, now you've spent $1,800 obtaining your designation. What's the rate of return on the investment? What's the ROI, Ken?
Now we're back to numbers, aren't we, Roey?
Well, I'm just curious.
My answer to that, Roey, is probably come back and ask me in 5 years.
Okay.
Because I really think that's an ongoing thing, and I think the investment that I made will continue to bear fruit, not just this year, but next year and over the remaining years that I'm in practice. So I think at the end of the day, I think that investment is going to come back a couple thousandfold, actually.
Is there any one aspect in the curriculum that best met your needs?
As I said before, Roey, I think the aging process helped me a lot. That was very helpful to me. A lot of the counseling was very helpful to me, how to interact with clients, how to ask the proper kinds of questions to them. The other area is in the dealing with the aspects of divorces, which is a very stressful thing, and I've had a number of clients. It just seems this is the year that I've had a number of clients come to me that are either have been divorced or are going through divorces, and you're really walking through a minefield of emotional stuff there to deal with that, and you really have to bear in mind in dealing with the client and still giving them good, proper financial advice. It's become almost one of my specialties.
The one that I really thought was very valuable to me is the one on death, dying, and bereavement. As a large number in our practice, we continue to have, and it's been three deaths a month. In fact, today I just got another call from a young widow whose husband died last week. And I think back of, you know, what I know now versus what I should have known, you know, a dozen years ago. And had I gone through this a dozen years ago, how I might have been a much better practitioner. So I think that, for me, that has been a very significant piece of this training.
Yeah. And as I said, Roey, because I do have a number of clients that my population of my clients is aging, and so I have a lot of clients that are getting up in years, and they're facing those kinds of situations. So I'm glad that I took the courses now. Because this will be very, very helpful to me in the future as I face more and more situations where the baton is passed to the next generation.
I hope I know the answer to this question, Kenny, but would you recommend this to other practitioners, CPAs?
Well, there's a loaded question, huh, Roey? But the answer is absolutely yes. I would recommend the curriculum to anyone.
Okay. Just other things in your practice maybe that you might tell us about your greatest strength as a practitioner, where that thing in your practice, how does that come into play?
Well, I think that's one of the reasons that the 3D Wealth Program was so helpful to me, because I always consider that my strongest asset as an accountant, aside from the fact that I think I'm technically proficient, is my ability to listen to my clients. Simple things like when I'm interviewing new clients and you hear the biggest complaint is that their accountant doesn't even return their phone calls. And what does that say to a client? That you're not really caring about them. I've always tried to be proactive. I tried to educate my clients. I've tried to really bring them along. And you know, maybe it's corny to say that, you know, your clients are friends, but you do need to have that kind of trusting relationship where they know that you're doing the right thing for them. Have I made mistakes over the years? Sure, I'm sure I've made a number of mistakes, but my clients always know that I'm trying to do the right thing. It's never for any wrong reasons that if something hasn't gone 100% right. And we always move forward and we analyze what's happened, why it's happened. But I think this works well with how I've tried to interact with my clients over the years, where these courses have really helped me to hear my clients' needs from a new and fresh perspective.
Well, the transformation, I think, from CPA to a C3WP is really sort of what I look at like the caterpillar turning into the butterfly. No offense to the CPAs listening, but part of it is they're in the cocoon. And you know what they say is that if you take a razor or a knife and you cut the cocoon to let the caterpillar out, that what happens is it dies. And the reason is that inside the cocoon, as the caterpillar starts to try to expand to get out and the stress it has to go through, what it's actually doing is strengthening its wings. And so finally, when it breaks out of this, out of the cocoon, the caterpillar now can fly as a butterfly. And if you take that away, that in fact what you have is a weak, dying butterfly. And, you know, what I've talked to a couple of guys, why do we have to go? Why should we bother taking the time? Why should we take the money? Why should we go through it and spend the time that it takes in order to learn the materials and take the tests? And, you know, there's too much to go through. And, you know, what I think really will happen is that by going through that, and I think that's what you've reinforced, Ken, is that by going through that, when you come out the other side, you know, you look like a butterfly and no longer like a caterpillar.
I agree with that, Roey. No pain, no gain. Anything worth getting to the other side, you can't end around it. You got to go through it. You got to go through the experience, and I think you'll be better off for the experience. Sometimes, things you go through in life, you don't know why, but and they may be tough, or you may go through tough situations. But you look back and you see how much insight and how much wisdom you gain because those things happen to you. And I think here, taking that course was definitely a blessing. You just keep educating yourself, and you say to yourself, why do I keep needing to get more education and more education? But you never stop learning, and you never stop needing to be educated and learn new things, because that's just the way life is.
Okay. I'm going to leave listeners with two websites, and one is to get a hold of our book, Three Dimensional Wealth, of which Bob Madden is my co-author. And for those that want to get a hold of it, it's www.3dwealththebook.org. The second website is for those practitioners, CPAs, or financial advisors who want to learn more about the curriculum. It's www.3dwealth.org. Well, having said that, Ken, I want to thank you for joining us this past hour.
It's been a pleasure, Rowie.
And I hope the listeners have enjoyed our discussion. And I invite you to join me next week at the same time. And this is Rowie Diefendorf on Three Dimensional Wealth. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to Three Dimensional Wealth with Roey Diefendorf. Please join us again next Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time for more tips and strategies for achieving total wealth management on Three Dimensional Wealth right here on The Bottom Line in Business Talk.